By a show of hands, how many of you want to go to heaven? If only it was that easy, right? But rather, life is a journey, and sanctity, that is, our holiness, is a journey. It's full of ups and downs and obstacles, things that get in the way and things that propel us along. And like any journey, it is important to understand two things: the origin and the destination. Those are two things you must have in any journey. And if you look up the word vocation in the catechism, it says this: it is the calling or destiny we have in this life and hereafter. God has created the human person to love and serve him. The fulfillment of his vocation is eternal happiness. You see, creation is our origin, our starting place, and our destination is heaven. And this word vocation, as many of you know, comes from the Latin word vocate, which means to be called. But unfortunately, many of us, when we hear that word, we automatically think of a priest or a nun. I remember growing up, we would pray for vocations at Mass, right? For an increase in vocations. Were we praying for married people? No, but we should be. You see, all of us have a vocation because all of us have an origin and all of us have a destination, both in this life and in the hereafter. I remember when I first realized that we have not only this call in this life, but also a call to the next life. I was in college and I guess you could say accidentally fallen in love with my best friend. We'd been best friends for a couple years and realized that, you know, if I'm going to spend the rest of my life with anybody, I'd prefer it be her. But I had also been feeling the initial call to the priesthood. And so I went to my spiritual director at the time, Father Dan, and I was really distraught. I said, "Father Dan, just tell me what to do." And he sat me down in the kitchen at the friary there and handed me a can of pop. And he said, "Well, I can tell you what your calling is." And I said, "Well, really? Did God come to you in a dream or something? Because he hasn't told me." And he said, "Yes, you're called to be married." He's like, I said, "Well, how do you know that?" He said, "Well, you're a man, aren't you?" And I said, "Yes." And he said, "Then you're called to marry." And then he went on to explain to me, though, that that was my natural vocation, the vocation I'm born into simply by being created because of our origin. But that God, because Jesus Christ came down to earth, became a man, we are all raised up to something called a supernatural vocation. And that sometimes we are called out of that natural vocation. And even those who are married, they are called to a higher way of living that natural vocation. Many times, though, we never think about our supernatural vocation. We kind of just take it for granted that, well, I'm living out the vocation God gave me as a married person or as a parent, and my job. We don't realize there's a supernatural element to it all. And to realize this, we must first realize that every vocation is an invitation, is an invitation. In our first reading today, God says to the prophet, "Whom shall I send?" Kind of a weird way of getting an invitation, but nonetheless, an invitation. God, one that God extends to all of you. In a sense, every day God is standing before you saying, "Can I send you? Can I send you out into the world to proclaim the good news?" How will we respond? In the gospel, "Do not be afraid. From now on you will be catching men." And Simon chose to leave everything. Simon could have said, "Dude, you're crazy. I've got a fishing business here. It's how I support my family. And you want me to follow you around, live in poverty on the chance that you're going to be the Messiah?" It wasn't a very reasonable bet, but it was an invitation that Jesus issued and Simon Peter followed. Imagine Mary when the angel Gabriel came to her, an invitation to be the mother of God. I realized this probably most acutely when I was in my third year of theology, In our third year of theology, that's the year at the end of it you get ordained a deacon. And so right after you come back from Christmas break, we had to write a letter to the bishop saying, "Bishop, I want you to ordain me, if you're willing, here at the end of the semester." I was still feeling a little nervous about what God wanted me to do in my vocation. And so I went into the church one night during our retreat, and I was praying. It was about 11 at night, and the only thing lit up in the church was the crucifixion scene. And I just pleaded with God for over an hour, just tell me what to do, tell me what to do. And I heard very clearly from him in my heart and in my mind, "I'm not going to tell you what to do." I thought, well, that's so unfair. You know, I came to seminary to find out what you want me to do, and you won't tell me what to do? And then God responded by saying, "No, because if I tell you what to do, it's like ordering you. Do you order somebody to marry another person? No, you choose. It's an invitation. Would you like to spend the rest of your life with me?" And it was the same invitation coming from God. "Would you like to serve me as a priest?" Simply an invitation, not an order. And brothers and sisters, our vocations, no matter what they may be, are invitations, not orders. Secondly, vocations are something that must be responded to with humility. Notice that both Isaiah and Simon, they respond in the same way to God's invitation. They both say that they are sinners and unworthy, in their own words, but they both say the same thing. I know many people think, even some of our young people here today, they think, well, I could never be a priest or a nun. It's the same thing as saying I could never be a saint. And unfortunately, there's a lot of people here who think that too. But as you know, everyone is called to be a saint, right? Yes. Saw a great meme, it's called, a little picture on Facebook the other day, and it was of an iceberg. And you guys know icebergs, they have much more on bottom than they have on top, right? And you only see this little part sticking out of the water. That's the canonized saints. The rest of them that you don't see is all the other people in heaven that are saints but aren't canonized. You see, brothers and sisters, your natural vocation, whatever it may be, also has a supernatural element, and that is to make you a saint. And some of you parents know this because your kids are doing a great job of making you a saint, aren't they? But we must first start our vocation and be constantly actually renewing it in admitting our brokenness. We do this, brothers and sisters, on a practical level by going to confession often, by being honest with our spouses, kids, by being honest with your parents. That helps you fulfill your vocation. Lastly, a vocation is a gift to others and a response of generosity. I remember when I went to my friend's wedding in outside Washington, D.C., and we had the rehearsal dinner the night before, and his dad came up to me. His dad was a college basketball player, so really tall guy, still very built. At the time, he was about 60, and you wouldn't have known it. And he comes up to me, and he says, "So, Matt, do you know what you're going to say for your best man talk tomorrow, right, at the reception?" I said, "No." You know, I was kind of scared of the guy. And he gave me a little piece of advice. He said, "Just speak from your heart." And so I did. I got up that next day, and I was speaking to my friends John and Christine, who had gotten married. And what I did is I told them, I remembered a story one night when we were in college. And it was after a big event, and everybody kind of paired off with their boyfriends and girlfriends and went away and hung out with their friends. And I was wandering around the dorm aimlessly all by myself. And I remember one that night passing by one of the common rooms, and John and Christine were sitting in there. And they were holding hands, and they were looking lovingly into each other's eyes and talking about lovey things. And I kind of glanced in there and thought, nope, not going in there, right? But they saw me, and they said, Matt, get in here. And I said, what? And they said, hang out with us. I was like, well, you guys look like you're, you know, spending some time alone. And they said, no, come be with us. And that made a huge impact on me because it made me realize that marital relationships, and indeed any relationship that we have, is not supposed to be closed in on itself, but is supposed to be inviting to so many other people. It made me realize that all our human relationships are not about self-satisfying, but rather making a gift to others. And I saw that night in their relationship because they didn't care so much about spending time together. They knew they would have their whole lives together. They wanted to invite somebody into that relationship. And brothers and sisters, every vocation has that element of inviting people into relationship, of reaching out with generosity. We see this in the response of Isaiah and Peter today in the scriptures. What does Isaiah say to God's invitation? Whom shall I send? Here I am, send me. It's kind of like the donkey in Shrek. Pick me, pick me. He's eager to respond with generosity. Peter leaves everything behind, his whole livelihood, his whole fishing business. Can you imagine owning your own business and then just shutting, locking the door and walking away to serve Jesus? I don't recommend it, but that's what Peter did. We too, if we want to fulfill our vocations, must sometimes leave things behind and respond with generosity. Brothers and sisters, today as you reflect on your vocation, no matter what it may be, a student, a child, a parent, a spouse, remember that your vocation is an invitation. And an invitation not just to fulfill a destiny in this life, but in the life to come. That it is truly supernatural. It is a response, a humbling one, and a gift that we make to others. It is the very definition of stewardship. And you all know that by heart, don't you? To recognize and receive God's gifts and share them with love of God and neighbor. That's exactly what we're doing with our lives when we fulfill our vocations. And so I ask you to consider today as you approach this altar. Am I living my vocation in response to God's call or my own ideas? Am I living my vocation naturally? Or do I realize that I have a supernatural call? Am I living out both natural and supernatural vocations? And am I living the stewardship way of life? By living out my vocation. Jesus issues you the same invitation that he issued Peter, the same invitation that he issued to Isaiah. He says to you today, whom shall I send?